suit. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
From Harry Hurley Way in the world's playground to the broadcast pioneers of Philadelphia Hall of Fame.
I want to congratulate my friend, Harry Hurley.
You're about to find out why Harry Hurley has been named to the Talkers Magazine list of the 100 most important talk show hosts in the nation. Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Okay, let's do this. It is 6 minutes past the hour. Thanks for waking up early in the morning. This is a rather significant item for any students that currently have been enjoying the opportunity to either make payments or not make payments. I guess really right now, if you made payments, it would all go towards principal because there is no interest, no additional interest that's accumulating on the student loans or the Parent PLUS loans. So where all that stands right now, on Friday, I believe it was announced right after we signed off the Guy Benson show, which we guest hosted on Friday. Today we are filling in for our good friend Brian Kilmeade. We got the whole morning. We've got our Hurley in the Morning until 10, and then Brian Kilmeade until 1. And what a lineup. We'll get to that a little bit later. What a lineup we have. The show is, we've been working on the program since last week and worked on it all weekend with Brian's team. Amazing guest lineup. Really important content. Don't miss it coming up after today's Hurley in the Morning program. But let me get back to this. What the president has done, he's extended the student loan. It also includes Parent PLUS loans, payment freeze through the end of January, which means payments will begin again on February 1, 2022. It appears to be the plan that this would be the last extension. The idea being that all the different banks and everyone would understand and all the borrowers would understand that starting in February, you've got to make payments again. So 6 more months of loan forgiveness, do you want to call it? Or I guess more a freeze because, no, it's not loan forgiveness. The loan is not going away. The only thing that's not happening. See, with any of the things, if you've had forbearance with your mortgage or any of these other things, as soon as all those moratoriums are over, that's all due. That's all due in one swoop, and it's going to be extremely devastating. I have been predicting this for a long time, and the president knows that what he just did, he admitted it, is not legal. It's crazy, isn't it? Admit it's not legal, but do it anyhow. But he feels that he's giving people a little bit more time. Brett Kavanaugh already said, we'll extend it. The only way this goes any further is if Congress acts. That's not going to happen. Brett Kavanaugh said that he will not vote to extend it again. And that was a very narrow 5-4 vote to extend it in the first place. All these different protections from evictions and so on, foreclosure. In the end, I mean, I know why they did it, but in the end, there will be millions of people that are not going to be able to pay this money. They're going to be in big trouble with their landlords. They're going to be sued. They're going to be in court. It's just going to be terrible when it happens. Mortgages, that's going to be an issue with many people that are not going to be able to pay. I don't know what banks were willing to do. Initially, it was, I think, something that needed to be done. But you get to the point where it's more than a year and a half. Who will be able to catch up with that? So you're going to see a lot of keys flying out of people's hands, dropping on the living room floor as they shut the front door and run like hell. And that's how that's going to go. And it's going to be ugly. It's going to open up inventory, but it is going to be extremely contentious. And you will see there will be a horrific political debate over that. So again, if you're just waking up, if you haven't heard this by now, there's been some coverage about it, not a lot. But the president has extended the student loan payment freeze through the month of January, which would mean payments will begin coming due again on February 1st, 2022. Then, of course, depending on if you're unable to pay, they have ways of, if you're not working, lowering your payment. There are other ways that they can recalculate things to help people out. You have something like 3 years of forbearance if you haven't used that. I mean, there are ways if you're not ready to get back to this on February 1st, but if you've used it all up and then you've had this, what will be 2 years? Can you believe that? How long this has been going on? And oh, by the way, that we're seeing numbers around the country in terms of positive cases that resemble January and February of last year. Never thought that I would see that again with the vaccine. If you are Governor Andrew Cuomo, boy, it must be lonely. It must be terribly, terribly lonely. But it's all caught up to him. He's a jackass. He's mistreated a lot of people for a long time. And the long political knives are coming out. He's politically getting shivved every time he turns around. His top aide, or at least one of his top aides, Melissa DeRosa, she resigned last night. You've got former executive assistant number one. A lot of people knew who she was, but the media had agreed to protect the identities of any women that did not wish to go public. Executive assistant number one has come out publicly by name. Her name is Brittany Camiso. Andrew Cuomo's got that going on right now. Let me go back to the first story. Melissa DeRosa, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's top aide, has resigned from her position. She revealed this last night. Hold on, I have a sneeze. Hit the cough button so you didn't get to hear it, but it was a good sneeze. She's resigning because of the Attorney General's report determining that Andrew Cuomo had sexually harassed 11 women. Some of them, and there is a difference between sexual harassment and sexual assault. And we'll get into some of that. Quote, personally, the past 2 years have been emotionally and mentally trying, DeRosa wrote in her statement. Quote, I am forever grateful for the opportunity to have worked with such talented and committed colleagues on behalf of our state. You might remember DeRosa was publicly defending Cuomo often when he would face public criticism. In March, she told lawmakers that Cuomo's administration didn't turn over nursing home death data to legislators last August because of worries the information would be used against them by President Trump. DeRosa is chair of the New York State Council on Women and Girls, which Cuomo launched in 2017. That's another thing that these abusers do. They try to make it look like they're really good on these issues. Well, look at me. What do you mean I'm a harasser? I started the Council on Women and Girls. This is a guy, and it's come out, this is a guy who didn't even attend the mandatory training that he demanded every employee go through, including himself. An aide signed in for him. That document exists. The media has been scrutinizing it. It does not look like Andrew Cuomo's signature. And the media reports, and they are voluminous, say that an aide signed for him. He didn't even attend the sensitivity type training on issues such as this. It's pretty special, isn't it? And again, pretty typical for an abuser. I often said I couldn't understand. I didn't know anything about her. I loved her show, Semi-Homemade, Sandra Lee. And I thought, and I don't know her, but I thought, seems like a really wonderful person. What in the world would someone like this, talented, smart, I'll say it, not to be off-putting, beautiful. What would somebody like that be caught up with Andrew Cuomo, who you can just tell? I mean, I can't prove any of this, but he looks like the kind of person. And I don't know if he's ever been. Yeah, he was married, right? But he looks like he would be a terrible husband. I could be wrong, but he seems like it. I don't know what kind of father he is. He appears to be a very bad person. So I don't know if you're bad and you do the things that he's done, now proven, and if you've done things that he's alleged to have done. What I think is also interesting is, look what it took. One of the things we'll be talking about with Michael Goodwin today, New York Post columnist and Fox News contributor, and we'll be visiting with him. You can listen to him right here at 10:06 this morning, right when we sign off, and we'll be interviewing Michael. And I'm going to ask him the question. Look what it took. You had the tens of thousands of nursing home deaths. You had the failure to turn over information. Evidently, they were cooking the books on top of all that. Delay and obfuscation and dishonesty. And then, of course, this myriad 11 women, which, remember, all these things were out there and you couldn't make anything matter. And I long ago realized, until the Attorney General's report came out, he would pretty much get away with this stuff. And I remember I've talked to a few people off the air, and I've interviewed people like Janice Dean and others on the air, and it was confounding. It was, I'm sure, very, very frustrating. And you're thinking about all this there. And he just goes on and on and on like nothing happened. He thought he was going to pull a Ralph Northam out of Virginia. This ain't that, kids. I told you a long time ago, he's finished. He just doesn't know it yet. And I just can't tell you the date. I said that a long, long time ago. But just the developments of this weekend, his top aide quitting because of him, and the former executive assistant, anonymous number one, coming out publicly by name. We'll talk about her next in just a few minutes. Our Fox News commentary is up. It's 19 minutes past the hour. Thanks for waking up early in the morning.
Fox News commentary.
I'm Jimmy Failla, and I'll tell you why people are throwing the book at Barack Obama next.
This year, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation is honoring heroes with 200 mortgage-free homes, a never-forget walk more than 500 miles through six states in 42 days, culminating at Ground Zero on 9/11. Tower of Light tributes, names of those lost to 9/11 illness, are being read on September 12th, and names of all lost in the War on Terror are being read on Veterans Day. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org.
Obama's former advisor Valerie Jarrett posted a tweet asking people to donate towards his $500 million presidential library. It's pretty tacky, but now we know what Obama meant by hope and change. Although something tells me they want dollar bills and not change. The Obama Library has been a source of great controversy because it's going to uproot Jackson Park on the south side of Chicago. It's not the first time location's been an issue for a presidential library. Bill Clinton wanted to locate his at Hooters. I kid, but Valerie Jarrett is serious when she asks people to pony up, and that's ridiculous to me. Millions of Americans are struggling financially, yet she wants them to fund a library for a president who's raked in about $100 million since leaving the White House. In the words of Joe Biden, come on, man. How about asking Netflix for the money? Or, I don't know, one of those 500 celebrities who was supposed to attend his big birthday bash in Martha's Vineyard before he got called out for COVID hypocrisy. But he wants you to pay for a monument to his glory days. That was a Springsteen joke. Unlike this library, which is a national joke.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Radio.
Download every Hurley in the Morning program as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app, Google Podcast, iTunes, and Spotify. Harry Hurley on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
All right, so we mentioned that Melissa DeRosa has resigned as of last night. That you when you start to have these kinds of things happen, like your top aide jumps, and you know what that means. They want to have a life. You imagine going for your next job. You're really fantastic and so successful. What was your last job and how did it go? Well, I was the top aide to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. I mean, so they're all jumping ship. He is getting the political death of 1,000 cuts. Now we can go public. I've heard this name and I pretty much knew that this was executive assistant number one, but everybody in the media, I don't know anybody that broke it. One of the few times actually where there's some, I guess, character demonstrated. But the woman who filed a criminal complaint against New York Democrat Governor Andrew Cuomo, now remember, this is now not just bad behavior at work and you've got to leave now, it's really unacceptable stuff. This now is in the realm of criminal, which I always believed this accusation was. I believed the accuser. And if you believe the accuser and you believe the accusation, it's criminal behavior. We can now tell you that Brittany Camiso, formally identified only as executive assistant number one, spoke in an exclusive CBS interview last night. Or I guess it's going to be in their show this morning, but they released a clip of it last night. Quote, "What he did to me was a crime." By the way, she's going to be very rich. "What he did to me was a crime. He broke the law." Camiso, the first of Cuomo's accusers to file a criminal complaint with the Albany County Sheriff's Office, which has confirmed that they have opened up a criminal investigation against Cuomo. There's some activities about this that I think are really wrong. For example, the attorney general, who wants to be governor, only goes to the point of releasing the report but doesn't call for a criminal investigation. Hello? After running a campaign that I'm going after everybody in Trump's orbit, but you're not going to criminally prosecute here. You're going to leave that for others. So I have no time for her. And get ready. She is running for governor. But it doesn't make what he did here right, and it doesn't make what she did here in terms of the report, the attorney general, wrong. Quote, "The governor needs to be held accountable." Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple, where he didn't fall far from the tree, it's said in lore, said Saturday past, his office is starting a criminal investigation against the governor after receiving his complaint, or the complaint. He said he is also reaching out to the New York Attorney General's office for more information following its report earlier last week accusing Cuomo of sexually harassing 11 women and creating, quote, a climate of fear in his offices. Quote, "We're at very infant stages of this investigation," Apple said at a press conference. "We have a lot of fact-finding to do. We have a lot of interviews to do. You know what? I'm not going to rush it because of who he is. I'm not going to delay it because of who he is." Quote, I had a female victim come forward, which was probably the hardest thing she's ever done in her life. Apple declined to identify her name or give further details other than to say the crime was sexual in nature. The Albany Sheriff's Office has a couple of sex crime investigators, but has the backing of the entire department. For his part in this, Cuomo said in March, Cuomo's office informed the state capitol's police department of the groping accusation after the aide, now identified by the CBS interview as Camiso, made claims that surfaced in the Albany Times Union. Quote, he did not grope her, and there was evidence that was provided by several individuals to the attorney general about potential motives for her to have made the claim. Rita Glavin is one of Cuomo's lawyers. She said this to CNN in an interview Saturday, declining to be more specific. If you remember, and it was really creepy, if you remember the taped speech that Cuomo gave late last week when the charges came out, and he basically was re-victimizing the victims. You know, he says he's 63. Now I'm 61. I would call us contemporaries. And he said he wants you to believe that because he's 63, that he just did things that were just fine. It's just you youngins don't realize that it's fine and you think it's something it's not. So he's blaming you for being victimized by him. It's grotesque. It's disgusting. And it will not work. And I'm telling you, it has pissed a lot of people off. It's a bad strategy. See, he always thinks that he's smarter than everybody else, that he can talk his way out of anything. Blaming your victims for you victimizing them, that's about as dumb as it gets. You don't get credit for being smart when you behave that dumb. But the truth is, his goose is cooked. He's in such trouble that he really has nothing that he can say. What can he say? I mean, this is so documented. 11 people would all have to be lying. Witnesses, not everyone has a witness, but I understand that multiple ones do. Witnesses would have to be wrong. You're probably talking about a couple of dozen people. Everybody would have to be lying. Look, do I think Letitia James wants to finish him off because she wants to be governor and he would have won a fourth term? Make no mistake about that. This is killing him, by the way. He wanted that fourth term so bad. Governor Cuomo, it's not going to happen. I don't even know. Maybe if they take months and months, he could finish out his term while these charges are all pending. But I would believe that the impeachment proceedings will begin. They would give him a reasonable week or two to resign. I don't think he will. And then they'll have to begin the process. And they have the votes to remove him. He has no support. I don't know of any Democrat that supports him right now. You can't, unless you want to be destroyed. So he is the expression on an island by himself. His brother's on a planned vacation, you see. Planned. Sure. Sure, that's right. Planned. Pay them more money.
Mark Levin.
And here's my problem. What Biden and his administration are doing, and what the new head of the CDC and the others are doing, is they're discouraging people from being vaccinated, in essence, because they're saying even if you're vaccinated, you're not fully protected and you need to wear a mask. So if people are already cynical or hesitant or have an ideological issue with this, you just gave them a reason not to do it.
Mark Levin, weeknights at 6 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
rescue your retirement. GrowWealthSafely.com/free.
Listen for the morning edition of the O'Reilly Update with Bill O'Reilly at 10:15 this morning. Now, Harry Hurley on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, thanks for waking up early in the morning. 40 minutes past the hour. This is probably worth spending a couple of nauseating minutes on, and it's the obnoxious Obama 60th birthday bash. Remember, it was going to be 500 people, and then the media sort of climbed on him a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. And then they said, oh, it'd be just for family and close friends. And there were, like, multiple ginormous tents all over this sprawling Martha's Vineyard mansion. And it was not a small crowd. And it was a maskless crowd. And they're just... Look, I have no problem. You're all vaccinated. Probably they all got tested, instant tests, and so on. I really have no problem with it, except they're such hypocrites. They really are. And they here's what is fantastic, though. He gets away with looking like he's responsible. Oh, it's scaled back. It's nothing like it was going to be. Well, how do we know? It didn't look small. The DJ, who wasn't supposed to, and then they made him delete his photos, but he had already put them out on the World Wide Web, so that was that about that. That was over. That horse was out of the barn. But all the beautiful people, you know, the George Clooney's and the rest, they're all the beautiful people were there. Again, I really don't have a problem with any of it, except they get credit for being different than they really are and are the exact opposite of what they say they are. I mean, this was, if Trump did this, they would never give credit for a scaled back event, even if he did scale it back, and it would be called a super spreader. I promise you, Sturgis is going to be called a super spreader. Anything that's conservative is a super spreader. But illegals coming through and not being checked and being bussed and flown all over the country, no super spreader there. Whatever they do is just great. Then he also had these obnoxious napkins, and he had this hat he was wearing, 44 times 60. And there were people like, what is this? I don't know what this means. 44th president, 60 years old. And such an unworthy former president in so many respects. Quote, had to delete everything due to the rules. This was the DJ. But he said it was epic for sure. But he put all these pictures out anyhow before the rules were there. He broke the rules. It's hilarious. No, I had to delete them. You know, the rules, due to the rules. We knew the rules. He got it all out. Then he had to delete it. When we come back, a television veteran passed away, and I'm going to mention her next on the Hurley in the Morning program. A reminder, coming up right after, you know that we lead directly into the Brian Kilmeade Show. It's kind of interesting that we will sign off and then sign right back on. And when we sign right back on, we'll be on hundreds of stations all around America, including this wonderful blowtorch, WPG Talk Radio 95.5. We have a rather extraordinary program, though, for you today from 10 a.m., 10:06 actually, until 1 p.m. here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Griff Jenkins, Brett Tolman. Griff Jenkins is a White House Washington correspondent. Brett Tolman is a former U.S. attorney. Michael Goodwin will be talking to him, the New York Post and Fox News contributor. Dr. Nicole Sapphire on the latest involving COVID-19. Karen Skinner, who's a former director of policy planning for the United States Department of State under former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, And then we will close out the program at 11:34. Don't miss it. Jack Cittarelli live from Israel. That'll be pretty neat. And of course, we'll be talking about Decision 2021. 45 minutes past the hour. We'll be back in just a few minutes. This is
Hurley in the Morning. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and on the WPG Talk Radio app.
8,000. Hey, it's Joe Pags. Join me tonight at midnight. Now back to Harry Hurley on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Two shows that I loved as a child, would run home as quick as I could to sit down with my mom on the couch, and we would watch Dark Shadows. Dark Shadows, if I remember correctly, I know it was a 30-minute show, and it had commercials in it. And usually what would happen, it began, I believe, at 3:30 in the afternoon. We got out at 3:30, so it was tough stuff. And I would have to run, depending on whether we were at Oxford Avenue School. Then when we got a little bit older, we were at the Ventnor, Lafayette Avenue, or not Lafayette Avenue, I never went there, Troy Avenue, and then Ventnor Avenue, which became then Ventnor Middle School later. We had two separate schools. You had the Troy Avenue School for 5 and 6, and then 7 and 8 in the Ventnor Avenue School. So what we would do, Dark Shadows would begin with a scene, usually an exciting little scene to get you going, and then it would go to the theme, and I think maybe even a commercial. But the theme took a minute or so to play, and my brother Don and I, we would just be tearing. Maybe that's why I became a good runner. I never thought about that before. I'm going to have to, the next time I interview any at Laura Parker, Catherine Lee Scott, David Selby, we've interviewed them all. It was like a dream come true. It was, I have to tell you, it was really, to interview them, a show that I watched with my mom, who we didn't really have all that long. Oh, that was just crazy to do those interviews. And they were great, great guests. But we would run home, tear running home. And if I remember correctly, right after that at 4 o'clock, Match Game with Gene Rayburn would come on. It would be Match Game and the Year. Match Game 72 or whatever. And then you had Richard Dawson and Brett Summers, who was married to Jack Klugman, and many times Marky Post, who was a stunning beauty, really had a great personality, was funny on the show, and one of my favorites. Richard Dawson, of course, was seemingly everybody's favorite. He was my favorite player. Marky Post was also one of my favorite players. She battled, I have to say, in the past tense because she died over the weekend. She battled cancer for 4 years, and she died in Los Angeles on Saturday. Marky Post passed away at age 70. A lot of people would remember her as the public defender in the 1980 sitcom Night Court, which she had a very good role there. But she had a 4-decades-long career and did a number of different things. She was a regular on Cheers. Of course, the 7-year run on Night Court was what she was best known for. But she did a lot of other work, too. She did Card Sharks, Double Dare, The Fall Guy, which was Lee Majors. Also, Lee Majors was the $6 million man. And she did a number of other things. Love Boat, you would see her pop up on. There's Something About Mary, Fantasy Island. And while she was having chemotherapy treatments, I'm going to check it out. I don't think I've seen this movie, but it's a Lifetime movie, Christmas Reservations. That was, I think, one of the last things that she did. Another item, and I don't want any credit for this. I said that the media would be calling Sturgis a super spreader event. Guest listener Michael sent me something from NPR with a laughing out loud emoji, and the headline is NPR: Health experts fear a spread of COVID as motorcyclists gather in South Dakota. But you will not find a headline that Obama hosted a super self-indulgent, obnoxious super spreader event. You will not find that. I promise you. That's the way this goes. And I'm going to also, if time permits, in just a couple of minutes towards the end of the hour, I'm going to share with you, I have said this probably a handful of times over the past more than 30 years that we've been together, the EFIS pitch. My father taught me about the EFIS pitch. This goes way back. I'm going to share with you a current story involving the EFIS pitch. If you want to know how to spell EFIS, it's E-E-P-H-U-S, EFIS. All right, I have something else, though, that I want to share with you. I gave this some thought. You know, oftentimes I say to you when I come on, you know, what I was thinking about before airtime and just things that are on my mind. I told you when I get this quiet time between like 2 o'clock in the morning and before we sign on that I can be very creative. I have peace, which I don't get a lot of. Once the day gets busier and people are awake, I get none. Not complaining. It's a nice problem. But during my quiet time, I think about different things. And I was thinking about this morning shaking hands. How many people still do it? Who doesn't do it? Who's afraid to do it? Who does it with hand sanitizer, like right in their pocket the second they get out of sight? They're squishing the hand sanitizer all through. So I wrote a piece titled, "To Shake Hands or Not to Shake Hands? That is the question. Do you still shake hands with other people? A tradition that has been around for at least many hundreds of years has been dramatically altered by the COVID-19 pandemic. It is believed that the practice of shaking hands began as proof that you weren't carrying a weapon and didn't mean to harm someone, that you had come in peace and friendship." See, if your hand is out, and then sometimes people even clasp with both hands. Oh, if you get the double handshake, you are really special. Well, then you can't have a weapon in your hand. Dr. Anthony Fauci, proclaimed as the nation's leading infectious disease expert, cautioned last year, and I remember saying this to you at the time. He said, quote, "I don't think we should ever shake hands ever again, to be honest with you," end quote. I remember thinking, what a terrible thing. And this guy has consistently said, that's why I said proclaimed as, because I wouldn't pay this guy $1 an hour to work for me. Others strongly disagree with this. Dr. Amesh Adelia is an infectious disease specialist at Johns Hopkins University. He thinks the whole shaking controversy is overblown. The solution, he says, is simple. Quote, "If you're worried about COVID, the best way to make handshakes safe is to be fully vaccinated. And for any other things that might be on people's hands, just wash your hands before you touch your face. That is what hand sanitizer is for." So which way will you ultimately go? Personally and professionally, I have continued to shake hands. I've always had service or sales positions, and I've had close contact with listeners, with clients, with elected officials, dignitaries, and so on. The custom of warmly and professionally greeting someone is very important to me. And I think it's important for our culture and our society as a whole. Yet I am mindful that many are not comfortable with this. Maybe they never will be again in some cases. My recommendation is simply to carefully study your surroundings. If you pay attention, you can see what someone prefers. I mean, you might be in a room and people are greeting each other and you see everybody shaking hands, or you see people doing a fist bump, or you see people doing an elbow touch bump, or some other non-touching gesture. Maybe you just nod, or you just do something that's non-touching. Which will you do? To shake hands or not to shake hands? That is the question. And that is my report. It's up at WPGTalkRadio.com. All right, let me evoke my father, Tom Hurley, who taught me the EFIS pitch. If you don't know what the EFIS pitch is, In the major leagues, when people, even in the old days with mush balls, they were throwing heat. If you throw a ball like 30 miles an hour, that's an Ephus pitch. There was a Yankee pitcher, I believe his name was Steve Hamilton. He had a pitch called the Folly Floater. It was an Ephus pitch. A utility man, this is true story, a utility man came in to pitch in the eighth inning. Last name is Holt, H-O-L-T, Holt. He fired a 1-2-3 eighth inning throwing Ephus pitches, 31 miles an hour. Prior to that, the slowest pitch in the major leagues this year took place on June 4th at 41.3 miles an hour. That was Willens Astudillo. Astudillo. He had a sinister, they said, 41 mile an hour Ephus. Yeah? What's 31? Quote, the spin rate on those pitches wasn't very high, so that's something I'm going to have to work on. Oh, my God. This is this guy, Holt, the utility guy. It's fantastic. Holt also said that he and Culberson were fighting for pitching privileges, but Holt won the honor as Culberson was already in the game, so Culberson couldn't pitch. Along with the Ephus pitch, Holt occasionally mixed in a fastball with some actual zip, and I have to say, for a utility player, he did throw 82.7 miles per hour. Quote, I saw an Ephus pitch, and I don't think I've ever seen a 30 mile an hour pitch before, said Oakland A's manager Bob Melvin. Quote, you watch him warming up down there, it looks like it's not the first time he's done that. Then when he throws at 65 or 70, it looks like 100. Looks like he's done that once or twice. A little longevity at the end. Interesting. Your phone call, 609-407-1450, or next.
WPGG Atlantic City, WENJ HD3 Millville, a Town Square Media station. Everything you need to know in 6 minutes starts now. Playground to the broadcast pioneers of Philadelphia Hall of Fame.
I want to congratulate my friend, Harry Hurley.
You're about to find out why Harry Hurley has been named to the Talkers Magazine list of the 100 most important talk show hosts in the nation. Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
It is 5 minutes past the hour. Oh, I had such an enjoyable just a few minutes away from you during the break. I was speaking to a dear friend. His father taught him how to throw the Ephus pitch. I wonder how many people out there. You'd have to be like a baby boomer child. Your dad, like a World War II era type great American, greatest generation. And that Ephus pitch was pretty famous back then. And it was used. You know, I don't know why certain things, like there was a hidden ball trick where you could get people out. They don't bunt when they should to move runners over, although they do it in those goofy 10th inning silly things that, thank God, are going to be gone after this year, where you start the inning with a runner on second. You play a whole 9 innings and they put a runner on second. It's maddening to me. And the Yankees have been not very good in them, but as of late, better. They won one in the 11th inning. Good weekend for the Yankees. Took 3 out of 4 from Seattle, and they're right back in the wild card. They've won like 9 or 10 out of 13, really on a good run right now. Had been on a 5-game winning streak, including 4 come from behind wins, which is always a good sign. But the player that they got from the Cubs, Rizzo, is out with COVID-19. I'm telling you, this COVID-19 is all over the place. Most people recovering from it, but it's all over the place. I'd be shocked if you don't know someone who has it right now. It's everywhere, it seems. No matter what you try to do, it's just the viral load is 1,000 times more than in the Alpha variant. So you just have, it's not necessarily more deadly. And in fact, if you have your vaccinations, you have basically 100% chance, almost 100% chance that you will not die. Something to consider. A talk show host died recently, I think over the weekend, from Florida. And he had been a big anti-vaxxer, telling everybody, you know, all the usual stuff, not to take it and all of this. He's dead now. Before he died, though, he put a message out that he was wrong, and he urged everyone to get the vaccine, and he wished that he did. And I haven't found one person yet before they die. I know of about now probably 10 examples, including multiple people that I knew very well. But every single one, and I'll tell you, I'm very concerned. I never knew him. I never heard of him until he got COVID-19. But this talk show host, Phil Valentine, the last report about him is like 5 or 6 days ago. And they're actually trying, his brother said, they're trying to move him to a hospital. That, I forget the name. It's like an acronym, but the name of the machine. They basically want to put him on the equivalent of the heart-lung machine, but only use the lung portion of it to try to keep him alive and give him a chance. But they have to find a hospital that has that and are willing to do that. So he's another one that if he lives, he's going to be the biggest pro-vaccination person around. It's just very regrettable, and we're not going to be able to unring the bell. It started out political. It continues to be political. But I promise you this, though. If you're in a hospital and you're either on the oxygen concentrator or you're on a ventilator, I promise you then you're not going to be political. I promise you that. Welcome to Hurley in the Morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Harry. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you for asking.
You know something? I've been for the past 2 months, I've been trying to reach somebody on the CRDA to discuss a couple of issues, which I believe is that's important. Now, the woman that answers their phone, very nice person, very nice, charming person. And she did say that she forwards everything, and they know how to get in touch with me. They know when, since I'm a night worker. And, you know, I don't know what their problem is. You know, the directors and that stuff. They don't talk to people below their income level or their social status. Or now I got my vaccination, so they can't say they don't talk to people who are not vaccinated. But I mean, they don't talk to the general public, which to some degree they're answerable for. I mean, it's bordering on ridiculous. Like us regular citizens don't have any input or any. They don't want to get in touch with us.
Well, the best of the best do. You take like a former Congressman Lobiondo or a Jeff Andrew, people like that, Michael Testa, Chris Brown, Vince Palestina. You take the great ones. They call everybody back. They call everybody back themselves. You bring it down the food chain to people that have career jobs. Some of them are also fantastic. And some of them are some of the most horrific, bad examples because they feel so protected in their civil service job, if you will, if it is a job with civil service protection, that they actually feel like they can not only not give good service, but actually give residents a hard time, treat you poorly. So it's a mix. You know what I would say, Peter? I would say it's a mixed bag. There are great actors out there that, I mean, Jim Curcio is another one that's fantastic. Danny Levinson is excellent. There are many, many good examples. But unfortunately, there are many bad examples in some of the departments and some of the other government type and quasi-government type positions because they feel extremely protected. You know, you've called in the past, even pre-COVID-19. Now everybody's got the COVID-19 excuse. They don't get back to anybody. They're so busy. I can't get back to you. I'm so busy. It's COVID-19. I just can't get back to anybody. Everything's broken right now. Go try to do anything. Go try to get like a driver's license or something if you don't have that skip the trip thing. So your message is a fair one. It is accurate. to the extent that those who act that way deserve that comment. But there are a lot of good ones too. I'm sure you.
Oh
would,
yes. Yeah. Yes. But I mean, I can't figure out what the problem is with the CRDA.
Well, no, I think. You know? I will tell you. I think the CRDA, Matt's fantastic. I mean, it could be that there's just a lot of, you have the board, and so a lot of people, you're not going to reach board members and things like that. These are people that have other positions and meet as a board when they meet. Then, of course, you have the employee organization, going down from the executive director on down. I actually find the CRDA to be extremely communicative. I'm not going to compare anything because I obviously have established relationships for years and years and years, so that when I call, I do get a call back. If I send an email, I do get a response back. I think that's actually, you're not having that experience, but I actually think the CRDA is a very well-run entity. I really do believe that. And keep in mind, they do have statewide responsibilities, because a lot of what is generated here flows around the state for projects and things, not just here in the Atlantic City area. But I would only say, if someone's not getting back to you, it's not hard to find the directory. You can send an email, send a follow-up, and do a follow-up call that you've been trying to reach so-and-so for a period of time. I think they're pretty responsive.
Well, I get the same response. You know, I don't get any reply. They're in meetings, and this is 2 months. And you know, I'm a gentleman par excellence.
What are you trying to? What are you trying to establish or learn about or get information on? What are you trying to do?
One of them is the $4.7 million for the seven restrooms on the boardwalk. I think it's too extravagant. I know there are contractors here in the area that can do the same job for less.
Well, remember, though, if you're talking government, it's never going to be the same as if you were able to get three bids, hire non-union. They're paying union wages. They're honoring collective bargaining contracts. Nobody has to like it, but it's the way it is in government. It's never cheap. I mean, go, try to get an extension cord put in at any convention hall anywhere in America, and it'll pop your eyes out. I mean, it's not that anybody has to love it or like it, but that's the way that it is. It's expensive. So the fact that that costs what it costs, sounds outrageous. Sounds like, remember when they threw millions of dollars metal on the Sands lawn out there, right in front of the Sands Hotel and Casino? And that was like flushing that money down the toilet. It was something like, if I remember correctly, $1.7 or $2 million. And I drove past it and I thought, did somebody just drop metal and they're going to pick it up later? It's just sitting there to be picked up? No, that's art. That's art? So, you can never compare government to the private sector. It's just impossible. Impossible to do. And then people say, well, that's the whole point. We got to change all that. But it is the way that it is, and it's been this way for a very long time. Something that goes through the bureaucracy is always going to be not just more expensive, it will be substantially more expensive, because there are many things that they are following that somebody in the private sector doesn't follow, doesn't have to follow, can do things differently. It's just more expensive in the public arena. When we come back, more of your phone calls. You are the next caller. You're in the queue, 609-407-1450. Phone lines are open. A reminder, right after today's Hurley in the Morning program, we have the privilege to fill in today for the great Brian Kilmeade. We have Griff Jenkins, an extraordinary Washington reporter for Fox News and a friend. Brett Tolman, former U.S. attorney. We'll be talking vaccines. We'll be talking passports, face masks, and probably a whole lot more. The fabulous New York Post columnist and Fox News contributor Michael Goodwin on New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. We will visit with Dr. Nicole Sapphire, Fox medical contributor, Fox News. Karen Skinner, who is a former director of policy planning for the U.S. Department of State under then-Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. We'll be talking about Afghanistan. Oh, is that a mess? Everything that we talked about on this program, how the Taliban would reconstitute. They're like, I'm telling you, they're like the McDonald's onions in the bag. They reconstitute. You go, whoa, look at that thing. That was like a tiny bag, and now it's this big vat full of onions. They're reconstituting like you can't believe it. And then we will close out. Well, we won't close out the program, but it will be the last long-form interview portion of the program. We'll have like a mini segment after this. But we will basically close out the program with former New Jersey Assemblyman Jack Cittarelli on Decision 2021, the race for governor of New Jersey, him versus Governor Murphy. And we'll be visiting with Assemblyman Cittarelli live from Israel. A lot going on here on the Hurley in the Morning program and right after we sign off the Brian Kilmeade Show. Yes, it's a busy day here. I am, what now, knocking them down like bowling pins. 1 hour and, what, 18 minutes? 5 hours and 42 minutes to go. 7 hours straight right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Here's Sean Hannity.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Over a million people that we know of illegally being processed into our country. Next to none of them are being tested for COVID-19. They're placed in overcrowded Joe Biden cages for long periods of time with people literally living on top of each other. And then they're dispersed to the rest of the country in every other state. Well, there's a high rate of COVID positivity. People come into contact with American citizens. What do you think happens? The Delta variant happens to be one of the, if not the, most contagious variant we've had. That means Americans vaccinated or breakthrough cases, they're going to get sick and some will die because Joe Biden refuses to enforce the laws of our land.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Have you ever thought you'd like to buy and sell houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? My name is Ron LeGrand, and over 39 years, I've bought over 3,000 houses without using my money or credit and taught thousands to do the same. Today, even in a COVID environment, we buy nice houses in nice neighborhoods using no banks, realtors, contractors, license, or other costly entanglements, and build big cash flow and huge wealth without the hassle of tenants, and all without using credit or little or no money. Text FREE to 620-622-5500, and I'll send you my free training and show you exactly how we do it. I promise it'll open the door to a new lifestyle that doesn't involve risk or rehabs and can quickly replace your current income. Text FREE to 620-622-5500, and let me show you how to take your life back and build a big cash flow quickly. That's FREE to 620-622-5500. Again, FREE to 620-622-5500.
8,000.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins this afternoon at 1. Now, Harry Hurley on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
In the most important work that we do, taking your phone calls at 609-407-1450. All else pales in comparison. We can blah, 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 blah about all the issues and things like that. But when we take your phone calls, that's when I believe this program shines. 609-407-1450, an open phone line. To quote Marty Allen, hello there.
Hello there, Harry. It's Joe from Marmora. Sounds like you're going to have a smashing day today. I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
The other day I was just, you know, sitting around musing, and on impulse, I sat down and I started to write up a little list. I restricted it to people that are alive or almost so. There is one exception.
That's hilarious what you just said. Almost. Alive or almost. Go ahead.
Well, Bill Cosby's first on my list. Bill Clinton is second on my list. Harvey Weinstein is third on my list. Governor Cuomo is fourth on my list. And Jeffrey Epstein, who's almost alive. I kind of made an exception in his case because we know he didn't kill himself. But all those gentlemen have a couple things in common, actually. They're all males. They're all serial abusers. They're all Democrats. They all had female accomplices or enablers that permitted them or protected them as they did their thing. And I'm just happy to see finally at last, okay, Weinstein's in jail, but everybody else is walking around free. And I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that list. There are no Republicans on my list. There are no conservatives.
You know what? This is a very good monologue that you just did. I'm in agreement with a lot of it. And I do absolutely agree with, for the most part, I'm not aware of Cosby enablers. He might be in a category all his own. But Cuomo had people. Bill Clinton had the Bimbo Eruption team led by Hillary Clinton, where they destroyed the lives of the women that he abused. So they re-victimized the victims. Andrew Cuomo, very similar. He is a particular grotesque scoundrel. But he is, Joe, he is going down. Andrew Cuomo, he hasn't figured it out yet. He thinks there's some kind of miraculous play that he just can talk his way out of this. Every time he talks, he loses more support. I mean, this guy is re-victimizing the victims. My feelings about it are, and I don't know for sure that Epstein didn't kill himself. If you ask me which I think is more likely, because that's not really established, it's pretty convenient that he's dead. It's pretty convenient that he was supposed to be with someone, because they have people like that on suicide watch. So they put them with someone else on purpose. And then his person was removed. And then cameras were not working. And there's a lot of very fishy things. But that's not established that whether he killed himself or whether he was murdered. It is very convenient, though. He was going to spill the beans on a lot of powerful people, and then he turns up dead. So I think you're probably right about that, although it's not established. I think for the most part, everything you said is spot on.
I especially like the other day I'm thumbing through my phone, and, you know, they have the little news items and stuff like that, and CNN has one about Chris Cuomo.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, do you believe that he is on a planned vacation? They don't just announce Chris Cuomo's on vacation. If I'm going to go away, Harry's going to go away next week to Disney World. I'm not, but if I was going away next week to Disney World, we wouldn't. The WPG wouldn't be announcing Harry Hurley's on a planned vacation. When you're using the word planned vacation, Joe, isn't that admission that you've got to explain why this guy is not going to be on air? I'm not buying that planned vacation thing one bit. Because if you just said he's on vacation, then I would say, well, that's kind of coincidental. And I don't believe in coincidences, as you know. But he's on a planned vacation. I would ask anybody listening right now, go look up Chris Cuomo. It's planned. Because Chris Cuomo says his absence, quote, from CNN next week has nothing to do with his embattled brother or advising him on his response to sexual misconduct allegations. One of the things we're going to cover with Michael Goodwin is what should happen to Chris Cuomo. You know my operating philosophy. I don't ever want to see anybody lose their job. It's hard to get a job. It's hard to get a really good job. Hard to keep a really good job. I don't wish anybody that. But first he was doing the stuff he was doing. Then we find out he was actually writing the speeches for the brother. But I also have to say, if anybody out there listening, if you had a brother that was in trouble, you'd help them too if you loved your brother. So I'm a little sensitive about that, or sympathetic about that. Not sensitive, sympathetic about that. But in his position, he was covering it while he was working the kitchen cabinet end. That was all bad stuff. Now they caught him again. It's going to be interesting. Only the Clinton News Network would keep somebody like this. He might make it.
Well, it's not that far in the past where, you know, we were hearing about the wonderful Andrew Cuomo, and he's the greatest governor.
Joe Biden called him the gold standard.
Any state.
I repeat, Joe Biden called him the gold standard.
Yeah, and I mean, we had an Andrew Cuomo hour every week.
The media would carry him before they would carry President Trump.
Yeah, it was just an awful thing, and the man was a reprobate, as we all know.
I mean, he was sentencing seniors to death, and they were writing and reporting digitally and reporting on air, radio and TV, that this guy was like the greatest thing ever. It was suspension of disbelief all the way around. But I knew the truth would catch up, just not in time for the election. All of that was a part of the plan. Oh, look. And they actually had Cuomo, if Biden made a poopy in his pants or something and literally couldn't continue, they were gearing Cuomo to be the presidential candidate.
Mm-hmm. And he was telling other governors how they should, you know, do the same thing he's doing, and on and on and on it went. As far as the COVID-19 thing.
Oh, hey, look, he was so persuasive. He was I called him the president of the Northeast governors. Whatever he did, they did a day or a week later. So his decisions were so deadly, but they were even more deadly because they were followed by others. That's the problem. And I always said, I don't know how anybody made those decisions, because we saw what happened in Washington State at the very beginning of the pandemic. Joe, I've got to go to break. It's 33 minutes past the hour. Have a great day. Thanks for checking in, my friend. And when we come back, more of your calls. You're up next. You'll be right after that. We do have an open phone line in open forum at 609-407-1450 on the Hurley in the Morning program.
Sean Hannity.
The Biden team is now demanding news outlets stop the irresponsible Delta coverage being done for ratings. Nobody's doing this for ratings. I've tried to be responsible all throughout this. You know, I was one of the first outspoken conservatives when saying, you know what, the mask really doesn't bother me. If we can get life back to normal, it's not going to be in perpetuity. I guess maybe I might have been wrong on that part, because it seems like they're in love with these masks.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Download every Hurley in the Morning program as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Harry Hurley on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And it is so simple. That's the second button on the WPG Talk Radio app. The first button is Listen Live. Second button used to say podcasts. Now it is worded a little bit differently, but it is the area where the podcasts are. And you can download them right to your phone. It's really convenient. 609-407-1450. Phone lines are open. Welcome to Hurley in the Morning. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Harry. And that's great. You brought up the good actors. But I had something funny that happened the other day. I was waiting up for a ShopRite, waiting for Grady to come pick me up. And here comes Bad Santa. Yes, Ron Ruff. I can't say Democrats stink. But I didn't say stink, you know me. But, let's talk about, because they didn't talk about it when you came to the Freeholder meeting, so they'd shut up or they'd wait for you to leave. But talk about the bad actors and what they did to not only advance their careers, but advance the loved ones' careers. And I'm talking about Lisa Cooper and Ron Ruff. And remember, I think Ron Ruff, he pulled all the shenanigans in those meetings, so in order to get his wife a judgeship for the state of New Jersey. Lisa Cooper, she threw out that library gate, and don't forget the county jail shower curtain gate, and she accused Denny Levinson of spending $16,000 on a shower curtain when it's the state that has special guidelines because there can't be glass, because it can't be used as a weapon, and just stuff like that. And she fell off the seat at her school that she worked, and sued the school district. The thing with library gate, she had all the librarians, these young women making a whopping like $12,000 a year, gave out what, you know, that, and they, she gave out the, their addresses and phone numbers, that, and they really enjoyed that. But like I said, you named the good guys, but there were some really bad people. Really bad people, and they ought to be ashamed of themselves, quite frankly.
Andrea, thank you. And your memory, as usual, is long and concise.
Thank you, Harry. Have
You're
a great
welcome.
Day.
You do the same. 41 minutes past the hour, and open line, 609-407-1450. Welcome to the Hurley in the Morning program. You're on the air.
Good morning, boss. How are you, sir?
Very well. Thank you.
Good. I can't wait to hear you on Kill Me. That's going to be good. I think it's going to be good.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, I intend to do my small part.
You're going to be working with Allison, so she'll help you a lot. She's great, right?
Great team. It's Allison. It's Eric. It's Pete. It's a phenomenal team. This is not the first rodeo. We've done this a bunch of times in the past.
I know. Yeah. At any rate. Your sports report, I know you're a Yankees homer, but you didn't mention the Phillies.
Well, I would have. I just ran out of time, and I had to go to the break. The Phillies I mentioned on Friday, and it has continued. They've continued their mastery and their mastery of the Mets, and now their lead has extended. They're the first place, National League East first place Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, well, I'm a Mets fan, so I'm not in good mood today.
What happened to the Mets? I would say we're right now at about 110 games into the season. I would say for about 95 games, the Mets were solid. I mean, it was obviously the worst record out of any of the division leaders, but a solid division-leading team. And I would say over the last 10, 15 games, it's like a whole different team.
Yeah. Well, we're missing our top two pitchers, so...
Well, that hurts. Yeah. But I keep in mind, though, the Yankees, I mean, Gerrit Cole, COVID-19, Sanchez is out, COVID-19, a few other players out with COVID-19. I mean, they have been... now Rizzo is out with COVID-19, the acquisition from Chicago, and he was playing absolutely phenomenal. So, in baseball, you're going to get illness. You're going to get injuries. Let me throw this one out at you while we have 2 minutes before the break. Mike Trout, calf injury. He is now beyond the longest range of what they thought would be recovery for that. He might not come back this entire season. They're hoping he comes back. But I would think the later this goes, don't even bring him back. I mean, if you get towards the end of the season, don't bring him back because he might try to stretch a single into a double or a double into a triple. And you know how, for those who don't understand, calves heal very slowly. And you can pull that. You think you're ready, but there's nothing like game conditions. No matter how you try to simulate that you're ready to go in game conditions. But are you surprised? I think he just turned 30. He's a young man. This has gone. I thought he was going to heal a lot quicker than this.
Well, yeah, you know, he's not very injury prone, so this must have been a bad one. But
well, Matt, I mean, you have a false memory. He's been incredibly injury prone in the first part of his career. He was not injury prone. He's had a lot of injuries over the last 3 years. He missed a ton 3 years ago. Last year was the abbreviated season. Now I'm gonna correct you on that. He has been injury prone over the last 3 or so years.
Yeah, well, if you look at him, he looks like a bodybuilder. I mean, he's built like a brick, you know what else, okay?
I know, he's fit as can
and
be.
And sometimes guys are big like that. Their muscles, I mean, they're big muscles, and when you hurt them, they take a while to heal. You know what I mean?
Well, evidently, I know what you mean, because this has been well over 12 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, at least 12, I would say.
I think maybe
at least
longer.
He might be just resting him. They might be just resting him, Harry.
No. Actually, you know? They said he's not ready. He's not ready. The manager said they're hoping to get him ready still at some point this season. They're not just resting him. I mean, he is physically, because look, they're not out of it. I don't know what they did last night because I've been kind of busy, but they were one game over 500 going into last night's game. They're not even completely out of it for a wild card.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll see. I mean, let's see what happens. They might be just monitoring that because, I mean, he's worth a lot of money. So they don't want to damage him. You know what I mean?
Well, I totally agree with that. But, yeah, you don't – well, you wouldn't rush anybody back, but I hear what you're saying. I mean, he's the franchise player, and they have him signed for many, many more years to come. What I worry about, though, is I've never seen a player that starts to get injured – then be healthy going forward thereafter. You would have players like you get like a Derek Jeter, 20-year career. Only one season do I really remember where he had a bad injury, and I saw him. It was a non-contact injury at shortstop going for a play, a baseball. Other than that, no injuries to speak of. If you look at his games played each year out of 162 games, just incredible durability. Trout had incredible durability. Let me call him up real quick. In fact, hold on a second. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Matt. I am.
Early in the morning, WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM.
Employer.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Join me this afternoon at 3. Now back to Harry Hurley on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Thank you, Sean Hannity. It is 52 minutes past the hour. Matt, we got to round this up real quick. This is the Quinn Martin production. This is the epilogue. And it's going to go, you know, you watch the whole episode and it's long and drawn out and it crescendo and then the epilogue comes along. It's kind of like, what's his face? James Cagney in White Heat. Top of the world, Ma! He only thought he was at the top of the world. Oh, no, no. Made it, Ma! Top of the world! He only thought that he made it. So here's Mike, the great Mike Trout. And by the way, don't anybody go back to Mike Trout and say Harry was dissing on him, because I love the guy. He's the Mickey Mantle of our era. He is Hall of Fame. He is fantastic. But everything I said to Matt was true. I'm not going to count the first year in 2011 because he just got brought up and played 40 games. In his first season playing basically full-time, he played 139 games, and he became Mike Trout. Then he played 157 games, then 157 games. And the next season, 159. And the season after that, 159, and then the injuries have started. He was down to 114 games in 2017, 140 games in 2018, 134 games in 2019. I don't count last year because it was a pandemic year, but I think he got injured last year too, 53 games. And this year, Dunsville, after just 36 games. So there you have it, Matt. He was extremely durable, and I don't want to say he's breaking down, but he is becoming injury prone, which I'm sad to say, because he was having one of the best careers, best seasons of his entire career through 36 games. I mean, his OPS and everything else, batting .333, had a lot of RBIs at that early state. He had a lot of hits, and he was doing great until the calf injury, which I think is going to shelve him for quite a bit longer, and possibly, the manager said, possibly even for the entire season, but that they are hoping that that's not the case. But the longer it goes, the more I would want him to just get well. Then you got the whole off season, and then it's really healed. Because if you pull that again, and you, it's like LeBron James's injury, you go and you mess with an injury and you keep injuring it, it can become chronic at that point. So there you go, Matt. Hurley, I had your number on that one. Welcome to the Hurley in the Morning program. You're on the air.
So is this Cannon, Barnaby Jones, the Streets of San Francisco, the Fugitive, which one?
The FBI in living color.
The FBI. Do you know I used to have nightmares when I was a kid? Because remember at the end of the FBI, they didn't do this with the other shows, but they would show the FBI most wanted list.
Yeah.
And I would like dream that this guy was like right outside my window.
Well, yeah, hey, look, I now that you mention that, I used to think about that a little bit. It didn't keep me up, but I used to think, hey, this is real now. This isn't a show. And if you remember, a lot of people don't remember this, that whole FBI show was like a PR thing for the FBI. Then at the end of the show, they would actually show the most wanted list. And I remember on quite a few occasions saying, hey, you know, those people are really out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First, I want to thank you for your recommendations over the weekend. My waistline doesn't thank you, but my taste buds do.
So for those who don't know, I referred Andy to Irene's signature desserts. She is truly one of the amazing artistes in our community and a really good friend. And everything she makes looks fabulous and tastes even better. And I remember Andy transporting his Copenhagen, I want to say homage to Copenhagen, hazelnut cake. And I'm forgetting the second cake. What was the second cake, Andy?
The key lime pie.
I should have known that. The key lime pie. Oh, my God. They both look great. You said if it tastes a third as good as it looks, it's going to be fantastic. So you, the only thing you don't know, you never had the Copenhagen hazelnut cake, correct?
Yes, so I have nothing to compare it to.
So then just speak about it on its own.
So it's like five layers of hazelnut cake, and then in between are it's mocha buttercream. And it wasn't that, you know, sometimes you get those buttercreams and they're hard, like they get hard, like on a birthday cake and stuff. This was smooth and just covered with shavings of dark chocolate, like all the way around and on top. And, you know, as soon as you cut into it, I mean, it's just a thing that because I do this, you just know when you cut into a cake from the feel, like, you know what the texture is going to be like, and just absolutely amazing. And the key lime pie, now I've had many key lime pies. There's a key lime pie factory or something down here that sells them at the farmers markets. They're fantastic. But this key lime pie, there was just it was the perfect balance of tart and sweet. It was a deep dish, you know, with the graham cracker crust.
Yep.
and the cream topping. And I didn't ask because there were people coming in and she was busy. We really didn't get to talk much. I don't know that she's actually a pastry chef. She's a baker, but you know that the pastry chef has that much more level of training. I don't know if she's like a trained baker or if she's just like a person who's good at it on her own.
Well, I don't know. All I know is everything she makes is great, and she has made fruit flan and a lot of these things that pastry chefs, the best pastry chefs in Atlantic City, New York, and elsewhere make. And I say Atlantic City because if you can make it in Atlantic City, you can make it anywhere in the world. An Atlantic City pastry chef, executive chef, sous chef, you name it, can work anywhere. Andy, the music's playing. We've got to go. Thank you for the affirmation. I don't make recommendations lightly, and I only make them if I know for a fact that what I'm saying is true. So I knew. It is the closest to Copenhagen hazelnut cake that has ever existed anywhere on the planet. And I'm not surprised to hear your review on the key lime pie as well. Don't forget, we've got the whole second half of the Hurley in the Morning program straight ahead. And then immediately we will go to guest hosting the Brian Kilmeade Show with no break in between. Griff Jenkins, Brett Tolman, Michael Goodwin, Dr. Nicole Sapphire, Kieran Skinner, Jack Cittarelli, and more. That's coming up on the Hurley in the Morning and Brian Kilmeade Show today.
WPGG Atlantic City, WENJ HD3 Millville, a Town Square Media station. Everything you need to know in 6 minutes starts now.